Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. It is 4 o'clock, the 9th of July, 2026. Can't be that happy about it. We already got some World Cup quarterfinal action. Nothing on tonight, but France and Morocco is about 3 minutes in. Morocco, a lot of red in the crowd in Boston as France, who is probably the favorite to this point, has outscored opponents 14-2 throughout the World Cup to this point. Faces their biggest challenge yet, and Morocco, who is battle-tested and an annoying team, but they don't have Sabari, who is their leading goal scorer throughout this tournament so far. He is not playing today because of an injury he suffered against Canada, and it remains to be seen. We'll keep an eye on this game throughout the quarterfinals. The quarterfinals start today, one game apiece until Saturday, where there's two games, and we're going to get through this pretty quick because, you know, the semifinals come up next Tuesday, and then all of a sudden the final is going to be here before we know it next Sunday. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, we got Damian Perez behind the glass today. Streaming live on YouTube at ESPN South Florida, ESPN West Palm on Twitter and Facebook. And did that go in?
No. Behind the net. Boy. But it was close.
Kylian Mbappe once again.
Folks, I took that parlay we made yesterday, by the way. Our final segment, Russo Rizzo, folks, Blitz of the Book, presented by Hard Rock Bet. Colin and I took all four favorites. Mbappe to score, Haaland to score, and Messi. Dude, I took that. So I'm rooting, obviously, for an Mbappe goal. I'm rooting.
France is going to kill this team.
I'm rooting for France to win.
They just had two great opportunities in the first four minutes.
I will say Morocco is one of those teams that mucks up games and scoots it down to their level. Outside of the Canada game, a lot of 1-0, a lot of low scoring affairs, a lot of bully ball, hoof ball, as the Brits call it. You know, so trust me, I would love a French domination. You know what I want. I want the big guys there.
Oh, gosh.
I want the big guns there.
You're part of the problem.
All right? Yeah, I am. I am. You know who I root for.
No one's thinking about Ohio State.
Come on, man. I need the big names there. I need the big stars there. Kyle, if Ronaldo and the United States are out, we're rooting for Messi, and we're rooting for the big-time teams to be there. I love your North African pride. I need to do, what is that, 23andMe or 20?
What is that?
That DNA test to see what you are.
I'm not North African.
I think you're North African. I think you're North. Dude, you are supporting those teams like you wouldn't believe.
I'm Irish and Italian. Thank you.
You're Italian. Yeah, God forbid our Italians made this World Cup.
Well, I'm thinking, Mike, from a perspective, I'm just looking at this. Well, if France scores two goals, this is a guaranteed win.
Yes.
Chances are if they score one goal, it's pretty much a win.
I could argue if they score within the first 15 minutes.
This game's over. I love Morocco.
Now, Paraguay, I thought that they would do Morocco would do a little bit of what Paraguay did.
France is flying right now.
Candy bar the door and have all 11 guys, you know, back and defending. It's kind of how you got to play against France and Didier Deschamps. It's just, there's just so many ways France can attack you. If it's, you know, Dembele, if it's Olise, if it's Mbappe. I mean, Damian Perez, who's also my host of Extra Time, my football aficionado. You got Olise on the left. You got Dembele on the right. And Desiree Doure playing, you know, a hybrid of a winger and a midfielder. And then you got the best striker in the world in Kylian Mbappe, a.k.a. Ronaldo regenerated. I find it hard to believe France not winning this tournament. Watch Morocco come out and win today.
But Morocco doesn't have Sabari too.
They don't have one of their top scorers. This Morocco team reminds me exactly of the Qatar team. Like Damien, you respect them for the results that they've gotten. Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they lose to France in the semis?
2-0.
Okay, they lost to France in those semifinals. And, you know, they were different casts. They had Amber Brandt in the midfield and whatever. All you need to know is this is a lot of the Moroccan side. There are only a few pieces that are missing from that Qatar side comparatively to this. But I do expect France to roll. And I don't think I should be getting shamed, Colin, that I want France and England and Spain and Argentina to win. You know, you want the big names. This is the North America. This is the United States' World Cup. You want the big names.
I'm rooting.
There's
four teams who have won the World Cup before and four teams who haven't in the terms of the eight that are still alive. I want one of the four that have not to win the whole thing.
Okay.
So that's Morocco, Belgium. No. That is Norway. It's probably not Switzerland, but it's Switzerland.
I'll tell you what Fox wanted. Fox wanted the United States versus Ronaldo. And then obviously one of those teams would go and play France in the semis. In a perfect world, that's how things would have shook out. I even think, Damien, they'd want Mexico there.
Well, did you see that?
I even think they'd probably
England
want Mexico.
England and Mexico are two huge
too.
Markets, especially here in the United States. But domestically, it did 45 million, which is more than the U.S. game.
Yeah.
Did 45 million, did 22 million on Telemundo and 22 million on
England.
On
Fox. Dude, England's an unreal draw. Kyle, I know you're down on England. You can't stand the three Lions.
Did you see how they handled that, how they treated the United States after the United States lost to Belgium?
Yeah. Dude, are you talking about Cundy? Where has anybody seen the United States? Has anybody? Dude, it was a bloodbath. It was a bloodbath. It's proper banter.
If
we're going to dish it out, you got to be able to take it. You know what I mean?
I agree, but that's why we were dishing it out. That's why you can't like
proper
England.
Proper banter.
You can't like England.
Now, Simon Jordan, who I love dearly, who is a British broadcaster, Kyle, has his own radio show. Simon Jordan says, if you're going to like the EPL and you're going to reap the benefits of the league, you got to show the English national team some respect in so many words. You just want to reap all the benefits from English soccer. I've hitched my wagon to Messi in England, and that's going to be a hell of a semifinal if they do meet up. Now, everyone's rooting for Norway. Everyone I've talked to in this office has hitched their wagon
to
Norway.
They win the whole thing, that'd be an excellent story.
Yeah, you know.
Excellent story. Small country, hasn't been there in 20 years. Holland's won a huge star now, has taken over the United States. We need a new name. We need new blood. We were talking about it. Eight teams have won the whole thing. Uruguay hasn't done it since the Korean War. And we're talking about the other team. You know,
he loved saying that to you, Damian Perez.
You know, we hadn't landed on the moon yet when England won.
England hasn't done it since 66.
Yeah,
though.
We haven't won it. We haven't landed on the moon yet when England
won. Now, with the hand of God, you know, all right, 86, you give them credit. They've come close. To be fair, England's always in the mix. They're always in the mix.
The last time they won was 1966. So if we're not giving Uruguay credit, we can't give England credit.
1,000% right.
Listen, I wasn't.
1,000% right.
I'm not sitting here shaming Uruguayo. I'm shaming what happened this year.
1950 is disgraceful. I mean, geez.
Forlan.
Yeah.
Forlan. Dude, Colin, Uruguay's given us some great moments in recent World Cups. They really have. Forlan. Man United reject, who Sir Alex Ferguson told to kick rocks, and that Damien, he has the World Cup of his life after. I think he went Golden Boot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he was the only player in the Messi-Ronaldo era to win the Golden
Boot. What year did he win the Golden Boot?
2010? Was it South Africa? Or was it 2014 in Brazil?
It was
either one of those two. It wasn't Russia. Because it went, stay with me, boys. It went 06 Germany, 2010 South Africa, 2014 Brazil, 2018 Russia.
So the Golden Boot he won in the World Cup was 2010, but he won it for club soccer as well with Atletico Madrid, which is a bigger accomplishment.
Yeah, so listen, we've gotten some great play from Uruguay. Luis Suarez, Barcelona, Inter Miami, man. You could listen to all your Inter Miami games right here on ESPN 106.3.
Without Messi after this World Cup?
Dude, can you... Where's Julian? I'm going to have the godfather of soccer,
Mike,
Julian Salvador.
In order to keep him in an Inter-Miami Heron jersey, we need him to win it all.
I'm going
to
have Julian.
We need him to win it all.
I'm going
to
have Julian put you in handcuffs saying stuff like that. Come on, Colin. Read the room. Kyle, read the room, brother. I mean, my goodness.
And listen, if they lost to Egypt, I've said it again. I'll say it again.
Enough of Egypt.
If Argentina lost to Egypt, Messi would have taken that jersey, left it on the field, and said, goodbye, soccer.
I'm down on that coach, and I'm down on Egypt.
That coach is right.
They've been a disgrace since that. They've been crying, and they want to give
Mike,
me a break.
You're little, done. They have a little right to complain.
Messi missed a pen, all right?
Messi missed a pen. It was saved. And also,
you know.
It was saved.
What, did the call stink? Yeah, yes. It was horrific. I'm not going to sit here and argue it. There are people out there, though, like Damian Perez, who agreed that it was the right call yesterday on extra time.
It was the right call.
Explain to Colin.
The foul led to a clear and obvious opportunity. It was literally the foul, and then they scored off of that. Now, I'm not
going to... Why are they going back to it 30 minutes after the fact? That's the problem.
Well, that's something I will give to you.
That's the issue of VAR.
If you miss a call, missing calls is part of games.
It is.
You miss the call,
that has to be addressed for sure. But if we're going to be consistent... They always call that.
But the VAR can't rewrite history left and right when there's stuff like
that. I agree, and I'm happy. Thank God they scrubbed it. I'm happy they scrubbed it because I'm a Lionel Messi man.
Scrubbed what?
The goal. They scrubbed the goal. Okay. I'm happy they scrubbed it. But doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's right. What was right, which I will defend, did it give Belgium the kick in the butt that they needed? Probably. It was right to get Balogun in that game. I had no issue with the president doing that, and I had no issue with FIFA, you know, throwing us a bone.
That Egypt coach had a little ground to stand on.
I'm done
it
with
was
him.
Funny because he was God, so blunt. So, he comes to the media, he goes, that was the most rigged game I've ever coached my entire
life. Dude, we're down on you. We're done with you. Go home. Go home. Go home. Back to North Africa you go.
Say hi to the customs agent
for correct.
Me.
Don't let the door hit you on your bump. Get out of here.
He has a point. He has a point.
We want Messi. We don't want, we don't want old, Mohamed Salah. We want to see Lionel Messi. Salah, great player. Wow. Sports hater.
Yeah, Egypt-Switzerland would have been a completely different game.
Oh, it would have been awful. What do you mean
would
different
have
game?
Would have been a awful. Classic. Would have been a classic.
Horrific.
Classic.
Dude, no one wants to see that. We wanted Argentina-Colombia.
That would have been 3-2.
Listen, talk about a waste of time. If you're going to get on Uruguay show, we need to talk about Colombia, who had a Mickey Mouse group. Portugal turned out that,
they played like that the whole tournament.
You know, the Scrappy-Doo or Scooby-Doo.
They didn't have a forward. That's the problem.
They played like that the whole tournament.
The Scooby-Doo end of the episode when they rip off the mask, that was Portugal this year. They were phonies. They had a phony Portugal. They probably should have won if it wasn't for worst VAR call of all time.
With a jersey, with a jersey hanging through.
Damien, Uzbekistan, where you famously said they have who playing for him?
I didn't say it.
Plumbers, Damien, was... He said, because I was celebrating.
Mike and Damon would both start in Uzbekistan.
I was celebrating. I was celebrating Ronaldo's brace. And Damien said, Mike, they play plumbers. I started dying laughing. Still one of the funnier things Damien ever said. And then I don't even remember who the fourth one in their group was, to be fair.
Conga. Respect.
Respect. Respect. Honest to God, respect. They played England hard.
They played everyone.
They played England hard. England deserved that result, but they played them hard. They played them hard, man.
If the African countries games were 75 minutes, this final eight would be Congo, Ghana, Senegal, Egypt. It would be.
You were so excited. Because, Damien, what was the stat? 9 out of 10 African teams, or how many African teams?
9 out of 10
qualified for the round of 32.
They all got eliminated. Two of them.
And they all had a chance to advance.
Oh, all of them. Yeah. I mean, Ghana was in a dogfight against Colombia, but Congo led, Ivory Coast led.
Senegal.
Senegal had the worst loss of the entire tournament.
If we played Senegal.
USA. It hurt USA.
We would have beaten.
I don't like Senegal either.
For me, and honestly, very.
I don't. It's revisionist. I wouldn't trust Senegal.
I don't think they would have been like
we did against Senegal. We still lose.
I don't think they would have been as motivated as Belgium was, though.
I agree with everything that happened. Now I agree with that.
That's a good point.
I agree with that. I still think Belgium's phony, Damien. Call me a sore loser.
I respect them.
I still think they're going to get smacked.
You got to respect them.
Dude, they played horrifically
Remember,
as much as I like the move by President Trump and company, God, apparently that was, that was all they needed to have the best performance they've had in 12 years since Eden Hazard.
And benching their best players.
They made a semifinal in 14 when they beat the United States. It's the deepest they've ever gone. With all those great teams, Dame, the thing everyone needs to know, the casual that needs to know about Eden Hazard, arguably one of the best Premier League players ever who played for Chelsea. Arguably one of the best. And he led their team with their golden generation. And that phony Martinez, who coaches Portugal,
They had more failures than success.
Correct. Because you said Riz.
And high expectations.
You go, Riz, they're the Penn State of soccer. No, Belgium, realistically, is the Penn State of soccer.
Last World Cup, they were ranked number one in the world, FIFA rankings.
Wow. Yes. Kyle, they've had a lot of falling on their face moments. That's why, all they needed was a damn president to get involved on a red card decision. Who knew? And that coach, too, was celebrating. God, I'm down on them. They did the Trump celebration in the locker room. They had the coach on the sideline
putting the cigarette out. They have every right to do that.
You can't be mad at that.
They have every right to do a Trump celebration.
They stink.
Now you're being a little unfair.
Three self-inflicted goals. The fourth one. Love Lukaku.
Self-inflicted,
Love Lukaku. Love Lukaku.
Now you're not being fair.
The fourth one didn't mind.
Now you're not being fair.
Whatever.
You're not being fair.
Whatever. I don't have to be fair. I'm eliminated. I'm miserable. I'm looking forward to September CONCACAF Nations League, which you best believe I'm going to be on your tail about to watch, by the way.
I'm looking forward to Belgium and Morocco in the semis, and then the other side, Norway and Switzerland.
Hang on. I'm going to remind everybody in this office about when the United States has important fixtures. I need you guys locked in. I need us locked in.
Pulisic is going to be resting.
No, he'll be healthy and available. He'll be healthy and available.
He tell you this?
No, but I believe it.
His MRI didn't say that. He's got a fracture in his leg. Did you see that?
He's
got a micro fracture in his leg.
We're a long way from September.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, micro fracture.
When you have a bad game, he's got a micro fracture.
I think it was a bone bruise
and a micro fracture.
You know, guy, he was hurt. I tried telling Damien he was hurt. He didn't listen on extra time yesterday. He bashed Pulisic for 45 minutes yesterday.
And every right. We talked about that.
He was horrible before the injury.
He was horrible before the injury.
Nope. That's where you're wrong. He got injured against Paraguay, and he was the best player on the pitch.
It was 3.5 weeks prior.
He's a front runner.
He plays well.
He plays well in games where the team plays well and scores four goals. But in the games where he needs to show up, he doesn't.
Got hurt, Dame. What do you want him to do? Unlucky.
Did you see what Taylor Twellman said on Pardon My Tiki? He had a good line about it.
No, but Taylor Twellman, friend of Extra Time, we love Twells. Go ahead. What do you say?
He goes, the thing about Pulisic is goal contributions has been night and day from basically pre-January till now. Pre-January, he was excellent. It was high, top of the line good. And then ever really since United States men's national team started playing a little bit more friendlies and getting things ready, rock and roll for the World Cup, he's sort of been a ghost story. He goes, I think part of that is attributed to the fact that Pulisic is an excellent fourth fiddle. He's an excellent third fiddle. He's excellent when he doesn't necessarily have the spotlight on him. And the United States, the entire spotlight was on him. His point was when he played, whether in the Premier League or in Serie A, he wasn't the best player on his team. He does not need to be the spotlight player. And he is almost better as a complementary role and a great at that, comparatively to being the spotlight player.
I remind everyone, not everyone could be Cristiano Ronaldo and score 42 goals as a winger.
Don't do commercials like Ronaldo if you're not Ronaldo.
All right. But what I'm saying is being a winger, it's hard to be the guy leading the team in goals, and like you're not the one. You're servicing the striker more often than not. And I know world football has evolved into Damien inverted wingers and guys scoring.
Yeah, he's a 10. Pulisic is a 10, especially on the national team.
Goal contributions.
He didn't play like a
10. It's goal contributions.
But even against Paraguay, he didn't necessarily play like a 10, Damien. That's my pushback. He played like a true inverted winger who was cutting in and providing service to the striker. And that's what we saw with Flo Balogun in that first half.
But you got to keep this one thing in mind, too. It wasn't like he was basically the reason they were scoring every time. He was not.
But I would say in that first half, he was the best outlet we had that led to good things. Him, Destin Robinson on the flanks against Paraguay.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the Paraguay
game. He's big on the Paraguay. Yeah. That feels like an eternity
stuck
ago.
On
like,
that game.
It feels like an eternity
the
ago.
First game of the World Cup for them.
Where we won
4-1. They played three games since
Mike,
that.
Mike, I was in Sweden when that happened. That was a long time ago.
We won 4-1, and the lads scored three goals. The Qatar. Listen, we scored more goals than we did in the entire last World Cup.
Qatar was a
game.
Disgrace.
But he was the best player on that team, and the conversations were, we need to get Christian
You're
Pulisic
putting
help.
Makeup on a pig in that tournament. I mean, that's ridiculous.
But what I'm saying is Pulisic was the best player at that World Cup. Where's the flowers for that? The guy was unbelievable.
That's why we were expecting him to take a step up at
this
World Cup.
He got hurt!
But what happened?
And he stunk!
He got hurt, guys, in the first game.
He was healthy in the first half against Belgium. He was 100% healthy. You can't tell me
he was coming
hurt.
From the same guy who said the muscle injuries will lag the entire
that.
Tournament.
He rested that. He was 100% ready to roll.
Put him in against for three games. Played for three games. Second half, Turkey, played for Bosnia, and then played for Belgium.
I can't defend the Belgium game. He was dreadful, but he also did fracture his leg in it. He should have went down. One thing Stu Holden and I, by the way, love Stu Holden and Johnny Strong on those broadcasts. Stu Holden was right. The freeze howler, by the way, Colin, I said on Extra Time, Matt Freeze can't wear that jersey ever again. I don't make the rules. You can't do that and wear that.
How can he be the best goalie we have?
You cannot do that and wear that kit. But to be a little fair to him, I think a lot of it had to do, you couldn't go to Pulisic's side. And the U.S. was so hell-bent on going on that. on that far right side, you know, because Pulisic plays left wing. We couldn't go on the left side because Christian was hurt, and he was telling the sideline, brother, go down. Christian, you've been playing world football for how long? You know to go down.
He's not a leader.
All right. Let's not.
Well, what tells you that he's a leader? Give me that.
Listen, Tim Ream.
Give me a moment. Give me a moment when he was a leader. Oh, Tim Ream's a leader?
No, what I'm going to say is Tim Ream was always going to be the captain. He came with the team. That guy came with the damn United States team. 38 years old, our oldest player. He was always going to be the captain. I think Pulley Goat will be the captain coming up 2030.
It'll be an early exit. Damien? An early exit.
Don't ask Damien. He thinks he's going to be playing in USL too. All right, him and Elias Bustamante.
Like the Fort Lauderdale Strikers.
Him and Elias Bustamante already shipped him out to Peoria City.
At 31, is it crazy to say that he's got to make the roster first?
You are insane. You are him.
He's going to be playing for Ford Madison FC.
Are you saying the same thing about? Are you saying the same thing about Adams and McKinney, who are going to be 31 years old?
No, they played. They showed up every game.
Hang on. You told me McKinney was shocking this tournament.
I told you he didn't step up like we expected him to, but he still showed up every game.
I think it's...
And he played. He's the only guy who played the whole Turkey game.
Right. The sad part is it was...
It's the durability with Pulisic. That's the problem.
Everything gets judged by that one damn game, and that's why football is unfair.
Well, the Bosnia
sometimes.
Game, I mean, you're right.
He played good against Bosnia. I do not want to hear
minutes,
it.
First 60, I do not absolutely hear not. It. Not the first 60. Last 30, when they went 10 men, when they went 10
he
men
was,
in,
he was played great.
Much better.
He played great.
Much better. Not, he was terrible in the first half of that game.
I think a lot of count. Everyone was bad. The whole roster was bad in that first half. We got lucky with that Flo Balogun goal. Honest to God.
Drop the shield. You're not Captain America. Drop the shield.
I think they marketed him as Captain America. Him as Captain America. And he was Captain.
He's not Steve Rogers.
He was Captain America, getting our federation back on track for 4 years going into Qatar. That's what everyone forgets too. I remember the dark days of when our friend of show Taylor Twellman, I was screaming at Max Bretos, friend of show, about how disgraceful
former
it was.
Friend of show.
No, we're still high on Max. Context. Max.
Max blew Mike off.
He blew us off, but we still love Max. Max, we still love you, brother. But the point I'm trying to make is I remember when Taylor was screaming on that desk and we didn't even make the 18 World Cup. We hitched our wagon to Pulisic and the whole federation turned around. Him, McKinney, Adams, all those young kids, man, turned into some good players. And we dominated CONCACAF. And I will remind
you're big on the what about the World Cup, Mike?
I will remind you guys again. Oh, I can't wait for September. I'm going to have my belt
that's
out.
That's going to be that's going to be a penalty.
I'm going Michael Irvin with the belt, by the way, when we beat Mexico and Canada and put them back in their place. I got the Deportes boys flying away that Mexico is going to dominate CONCACAF all of a sudden. Don't make me start snapping the belt.
Mexico's different away from Mexico, I will say that.
Don't make me start snapping
the belt. I agree. Phony team
belt.
Outside of that the dark magic.
However,
Let's see.
When they do play here in the United States, they're basically the home team, unless they're playing in the United States.
Yeah, and their fans are spitting on my players and burning my flag.
Look at this.
Oh, I know.
Let's see.
Yep. I wish I could hear the broadcast.
Looks like a penalty
now,
to me.
Colin,
there's no ball.
Colin, what I will say.
That's a penalty.
I don't like that you guys are ahead today.
I personally.
I gotta fix this.
We're power tripping, and I
thank
like
gosh,
it.
Thank God. Damien, who spoiled every goal
everything,
of this tournament
everything,
for us.
Everything.
And to make sure you don't miss it.
The best part is the
25th minute, France Morocco right now, and Mbappe was going into the box, got tackled, and they're giving him a penalty.
Damien, not my Manchester United Red Devil Mazraoui.
They
him a penalty.
Yeah. It's a PK.
Lock it in. France has won this game. Congratulations, France.
Damien, am I wrong? Couldn't Dembele have played for Morocco?
Lamine Yamal, I think.
That's it.
Lamine Yamal could have, yes.
Yeah. I'm
There's
sorry.
There's actually
I got my stars
Morocco
mixed up.
Morocco eliminated Spain in 2022, and there's a video of Lamine Yamal with the Morocco jersey trolling his Spanish teammates.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Mbappe's about to line up this penalty kick. Congratulations, France, on winning this quarterfinal.
Hold on. Hang on. This is a big-time goalkeeper who made some big saves in that penalty shootout.
He's had a good
And I will remind
him. Who did he play for?
And I will, while I'm looking that up,
good question.
Colin, I will remind everybody that Lionel Messi got a penalty saved a couple of days ago.
Al-Hilal in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, Al-Hilal, your favorite. All right, favorite.
This guy's not a big-time goalie.
Al-Hilal, good team, by the way.
Yeah.
Good team.
Not Ronaldo's team. It's the other one.
I'm down on the Saudi league, but they got good teams
there.
Did you
see
that
Portugal
players.
Signed Ronaldo's coach at Al Nassr, is going to be their next coach for the next World Cup? Ronaldo's coming back.
No, he's not. Cristiano will not go. And he will not go back.
He's coming back.
If I'm Bruno Fernandes and Ronaldo comes
he's
back.
He's not coming back, guys.
Let's see. As Mbappe lines up this alone. Penalty, 26th minute, a good call. France-Morocco, no score at the moment, 0-0. And if France scores this, I mean, can we call time of death?
I haven't seen Morocco go forward one time.
No, one time.
Not one time. But it's very early, 27 minutes. I saw them do this against the Dutch, to be fair.
True. True.
I saw, and then they awoke the last 20 minutes of
the
ball
game. That's a good point. They took them to the 95th minute to get that header
in. One thing
which is one of the great goals of the entire tournament.
Colin, famous saying in soccer, 2-0 is a kiss of death. If you're up 2-0 and you don't get the third, it's a kiss of death.
Can we quit the VAR? It was a penalty. That the VAR check, we're double checking with the VAR. Hey, there was a penalty about 9 minutes ago. Should we call back this goal? Yeah, I think that's a good idea. That's why I can't take it seriously. Here we go. Mbappe lines it up.
I told you.
Saved.
I told
you. That was a terrible
That was a
attempt.
Shocking penalty. You can't stutter step,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, I hate that.
Harry Kane's good about just booting it
Correct.
In. He's
and
good
he
about
is,
that.
Dude, Mbappe's Damien is my witness. Mbappe's a top-tier penalty kicker. That was ridiculous. That was ridiculous.
But Bono, like you said, Bono's one of
He's
the
a good
best
goalkeeper.
In the world.
He's a good goalkeeper,
specifically
bro.
At penalties.
At Pence. He's a good goalkeeper.
So let's see. If,
by the way, my ticket... We could have, Colin, we could have already been done with a step of Mbappe anytime goal with that. Not happy about it. Not happy about it.
Wow.
He could already been in the back of the net with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet.
And one thing to add on to this, this is an Argentinian referee crew. And they took a while to let Mbappe.
Why do they do that?
Because it's, dude. It's
fully Argentinian. Five Argentinians are the refs.
It's the logic. I mean. Obviously, the context behind why we're asking why is because Argentina played France in the last, what, two World Cups? So it's kind of like,
so
could you not find another crew?
Yeah, the whole lot in the football group chat says clearly a pen.
Absolutely.
And then one of my best mates, Barant, goes, get hashtag iced. They said they iced.
So the refs did a terrible job.
The Argentinians iced Mbappe.
The referees. See, this is what we're talking about.
I will listen to that.
That's why the Egyptian coach is onto something.
I will listen
out.
To that.
Books out.
They iced him, Dame.
I don't know. How do you get iced for a PK, though?
You waited there for 20 minutes.
Yeah, Sean, by the way, a proper United and Madrid fan like myself, took 15 minutes from VAR for a clear pen. An absolute disgrace.
Argentina refs. That's what happens when you're...
And then how about the Barcelona and City man? Mbappe must be shocked. That's usually his friend. Bono, mentality obliterated him. Proper banter in the chat today.
Get some proper banter with the top accident attorney in Florida, Anna Jaron Levine, accident attorneys. Drive down 95 and look down at all the different billboards. You see 1,000 different accident attorney options, but I'm here to tell you that there's only one best in South Florida. You see them sponsoring the End Zone at Hard Rock Stadium when the Miami Hurricanes play. It is Anna Jaron and Levine, accident attorneys. They cover car accidents. They cover truck accidents. They cover slips and falls. Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine will fight for you, and they don't even get paid unless you do. They'll fight for you to get the maximum compensation that you deserve. Call Anajar and Levine today for a free consultation, and don't settle for just any attorney. Go demand the best. Go get the best. That is Anajar and Levine. Pick up the phone. Take back control of your life. Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733. A little France-Morocco talk on the other side of things. Kawhi Leonard might not be able to go to Toronto after all. We'll talk about that as well. It's Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo. It is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. I know you be hearing this and that from here and there, but please trust and believe, little mama. I see you gonna ride for me, so I'ma die for you. Is you with me? I got your back, boy. But let's get it.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
You want to live bet France or live bet Morocco? Live bet any of these quarterfinal games at the FIFA World Cup. You could do it on the Hard Rock Bet app. Hard Rock Bet, go down on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. It's the best place in South Florida, in Florida, period, to go bet on a game. That's player props. That's game by game. That's futures, league by league. Parlay them together. Parlay them apart. Check out the Discover page. See what other users are putting together. You could tap and tag along on their stuff. It is that easy to get involved. Refer a friend, get $50 in bonus bets added to your account, and it's perfectly catered to the new player and the experienced player. That is Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida. The wager terms and conditions do apply. If you or somebody knows a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE.
Tell you what, this keeper's on his head, bro.
Dude, he's
That's
having
a day.
Long day for him. France is giving this guy hell in the 35 minutes we've played so far in this quarterfinal. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Damian Perez, Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. 35 minutes into France-Morocco, 0-0.
So I got news for you guys. France are one of those teams. If they don't win this game, all hell will break loose. That's the expectation there, Damian Perez. If they lose this game to Morocco, like for everyone with the United States, the Americans, the ones, the casuals, as I call them, they want to know why the hell we're not winning everything.
Yeah, right.
But for me, it's like, all right, if we get to the round of eight, it's a success. You know, if we would have gotten there, Colin, and got boat raced by Spain, whatever, I'm fine with it.
France needs to get to that final.
Yeah, correct. Dude, bar none, France needs to get to the final. I could argue it's the same
France
thing.
France needs to win it.
I might be there. I might be there
scored
with Damian.
14 goals. They've surrendered two. You can't play like that and then lose in a slugfest 1-0.
I will say Didier Deschamps is a national hero, winning the 18 World Cup. It's his last year. You know, I don't think if they do lose this game, like the coach is already, like what I'm saying is his last year.
There's no pressure on the coach. I mean, right, you look at this roster, they got to get it done.
Right. And it's going to be.
It's almost as good as they'll ever be this year.
It's more on Mbappe, and it's more on the players like Dembele, Olise, and company. And it's not helping that Mbappe missed that pen.
They got 10 attempts at goal. Morocco's got zero. They got three attempts on target. Morocco's got zero.
They have had nothing. But I remind you the Dutch
game. That's Morocco, though.
It is. And I remind you the Dutch game.
But they are going. Remember, the Dutch didn't get a ton of opportunities late, not nearly as much as France has.
As crazy as it is to say it, this is where Morocco's comfortable.
And I also think that the Dutch never planned on going forward. They never planned on going forward after they got that goal in, the 69th minute, the 70th minute? They parked it for 30 minutes. And that's why Dutch fans were on Koeman. Yeah, the gaffer.
They were on
the gaffer because they sat back for 30 minutes and let Morocco do whatever the
everybody
hell they
loved. Everybody loved their defense. You know, their defense is as good as it gets in this tournament. But you're also in a slugfest against a top 10 team in the round of 32. You got to be ready for this.
Is this Dame? That's a card.
That is not a card.
Stepped on his foot.
I hate being
behind. Oh, yeah, you are behind. Usually,
Damien's at the 31st.
What is it?
31st Bono,
I'm try Telemundo right now.
Bono again with that Colin, the left-handed going to ground save. I can't stress to you how hard that is.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a stellar game. He saved a pen from Mbappe at the 28th minute. He's had quite a game, and I'll tell you this: Morocco defense—they're getting looks. So it has been fairly easy for France to get looks on goal. So they need to clean it up.
They're knocking. France is knocking, and then it's the same onslaught that I saw versus Sweden. Oh. Remember, we were in this studio
and
for
it was
that
1-0, and you're thinking this should be 9-0.
Correct, and I think there's a little bit of that going on. Right, I mean,
France is due for
a penalty.
For a comeback game because of how Paraguay went down.
Yep.
They're due for a little. They want some offensive momentum heading into the next game. Because if they're going to have to go against Spain, you're going to want to feel good in terms of momentum side.
And we've already had a penalty get saved in this game. I thought that was going to be the battle cry for Morocco to get things going.
They
haven't even had the count on anything. They haven't even had the ball. I mean, have they had the ball on the other side of the pitch? That's why you got to give credit to the pressing.
They're missing Sabari quite a bit, too, in terms of offensive output. But, I mean, they haven't even gotten a look for somebody like Sabari to take advantage.
Now, Colin, if France wins the World Cup, are you upset?
Yeah. France is the bad guys.
They're not the bad guys.
Damien, are they the bad guys?
They're
the bad guys. So is England.
No one's thinking about Ohio State. No one cares.
I love a winner, man. Oh, my gosh. I love a winner.
Argentina, England, and France are the bad guys. I'd be okay with Spain. It's a new class, and I'd be okay with anybody
Spain
else.
Spain are bad guys, too, bro.
Spain are not bad guys.
Colin, that 2010 team is the best team in the history of football. For me, they are bad guys. Spain, if we're going to throw France as a bad guy, I think Spain is bad.
If Spain wins this World Cup, though, I think it's safe to say they're ahead of schedule.
They won the Euros. Like, they've won big competitions already with this group.
Which is
Yamal was 17 and they won the Euros.
But Yamal, the thing about Yamal is
they're here. They've been today. My pushback is they've been here.
He came about at 16, and everybody's like, he's way ahead of schedule in terms of being one of the great players of all time. Now he's 19, and all of a sudden you're sort of way. Messi's still the focal point. Messi's still the highlight. Haaland's still the highlight. Yamal could use a moment like that in terms of resume building.
To that point, I don't think Lamine Yamal has had his arrival moment in this World Cup.
You haven't noticed it. He has not been a focal point. He has not been one of the great players we have seen at this point.
I got to be honest. Yamal, Dame, I expected him to be the Messi of this tournament. I expected Yamal to be the Messi of this tournament and to kind of leading the goal scoring way. I think the injury set him back a little bit, so I'll give him credit there. I in my wildest dreams, I never thought Lionel Messi would lead the Golden Boot race. Did I think he would score a lot of goals? Absolutely.
And that's with missing two PKs.
Correct. And I did not think he would have 8 goals in this juncture of time.
Are you a Pink Floyd fan? Prove it. Call in 888-760-3776 because you could win tickets now for the Australian Pink Floyd show, which is happening at the Kravis Center on Thursday, July 23rd. It's going to be one of the greatest hits of Pink Floyd. It will be taking place at the Kravis Center. Once again, Thursday, July 23rd, we're giving away tickets. You're going to see classics from every era of Pink Floyd. That's The Dark Side of the Moon. That's Wish You Were Here, Animals, The Wall, more. They got all that action here. You got to call in. Caller number 3. You call in, you give us your favorite Pink Floyd song. And if Damien dooms you worthy, you'll get some tickets. 888-760-3776. Go listen to some Pink Floyd. Call in, give us your favorite Pink Floyd song right now. 888-760-3776 and win some tickets to the Pink Floyd, Australian Pink Floyd show, which is coming to the Kravis Center Thursday, July 23rd. Take advantage of it. 888-760-3776. We got Steve Palatino on the other side. This is Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Damian Perez, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
It's Colin Russo. It's Mike Rizzo. It's Damian Perez. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. We got 5 extra minutes in the first half. 0-0, France-Morocco. This feels like a win for Morocco, the fact that they're even still at water level here. Because I'm sitting in a position where France has completely dominated this game. But the fact that they are still alive, Morocco, that is, feels like a total win. If they get out of this at tied, then all of a sudden more and more pressure goes on to France. It is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. I tell you, Mike loves France. Mike loves the Titans. Every time they win, he pours himself a nice little glass of Giessen 0%.
I want to do one better, Colin. Obviously, I'm going to be doing that 10K coming up on August 30th. Remember how you put your logos on your Iron Man thing? Well, I want to do that with Giessen. I want to get a Giessen 0% logo when I'm doing my 10K. But folks, outside of that, you know it's my drink of choice. You know when I'm trying to relax and I'm, you know, winding down after training for the 10K, watching some football. I'm popping that premium red of Giessen 0%. And on top of that, when it's a hot day outside, I'm on the boat and I got all these things going on with Uncle Mark and Cousin Mike. I am taking advantage of the spritzes in a can and the rosés in a can. They're the things I could sit in there, throw in the cooler. You know, it's coming to the things where it's like, you know, Mike, did you bring your Giessen? It's absolutely. It's right here. So, folks, at any event that you're doing, if it's, you know, a wine and dine function, you drink the premium red or the white. If you're out having a good time, partying on a boat, whatever it may be, you got the spritzes in a can, you got the rosés in a can. That is Giessen 0%. I got a wine and five coming up where I think LeBron James is going to go in free agency, even though I wish he would already decide. But keep a lookout on my social medias at MikeRizzo22. And for everyone out there that are drinkers, and folks, you can't drink every night, right? Giessen 0%, obviously zero alcohol in it. If you're the DD one night, if you got, you know, the mother-in-law, you got to take your grandfather to the family party, you can't drink, you can't have a buzz, think of Giessen 0%, go pick it up at Publix, stay sharp, stay focused, and thank me later. Colin, that's our great friends at Giessen 0%.
Another opportunity for France. That, geez, I mean,
Bono is on his head.
Money's worth
on his head at this moment in time.
Let's loop him in. If you're involved in the Palm Beach Gardens Youth Athletic Association, you know him as a vice president. If you're involved in the Orange Bowl committee, you know him as a committee chair member. If you know him from the National Championship Host Committee. He is also a member of that. He is also a Palm Beach Sports Commission Hall of Famer, and he is also the Good Karma Brands president. It is Steve Palazzino with us now. Steve, how are you today? What's going on?
Uncle Steve, hello.
Steve. Steve, how are you?
I'm here.
There you are.
How are you today? What's going on?
I am here. Hey, guys. Great. Great to be with you.
Are you crestfallen about the United States losing earlier this week?
I'm not going to go crestfallen.
You're bothered?
Yeah, disturbed. Can't win everything.
Do you feel bothered as an American that they got spanked on that type of stage?
I feel bothered as an American they got spanked. I also feel bothered as an American the kind of, you know, the way the wrong was righted. I was, like, uncomfortable with it. And so I just sort of think things played out the way they're supposed to play out. We had our best team, and we stunk.
Now, Uncle Steve, it was the right move for sending that right red card. It was never a red card. I had no issue with that. But it was a rally cry for Belgium. It was definitely a rally cry for Belgium.
It was a rally cry for Belgium, and it was a way for, you know, if you didn't want to like us, it was an easy way to add on to that. And if you were neutral, maybe you don't like us. Mm. I despise the political nature of it. And unfortunately, we can't say we didn't have our guys. We can't spend time saying, well, we didn't have everybody. We did, and we lost.
Steve, there's been a lot of criticism about how Americans or the United States of America cannot develop a top-tier soccer player, whether that be in bulk and for the United States men's national team, or even a great, great sort of one-in-a-million player despite having 350 million athletes in this country. Do you think the United States, is there a path for them because of the sport competition for them ever to get to the top of the line good in World Cup play, or are they closer to their ceiling than we like to admit?
No, I do, guys, because we have, first of all, it's such a place of diversity and internationalization. So you have people that have that soccer, football acumen and bringing it from elsewhere. Also from a coaching diversity standpoint, look at our own coach. Like, you're continuing to bring that. And the sport is growing here. We're such a, I want it now. Why aren't we the best? Like, it's a, doesn't it annoy you? It wasn't built over time. Look at the way other countries have gotten, and I'll give you an example. Look at the way other countries have gotten good at basketball. Look at the way other countries have gotten good at other sports. Like, it takes a while. It takes time. It takes investment. It takes commitment. We have a zillion distractions here. We have so many interests, so many leisure activities, so many other sports pulling at you.
Wow, I guess I understand.
It's going to be tough.
I guess I understand, but you know, you could also make the argument that the American fan has a right to not complain, but be frustrated with how the United States was hyped up, how the team was hyped up, how they were portrayed, and then how they played against Belgium.
Right, but I mean, are you guys they laid an egg, no doubt. It was a terrible time. I think it was Alexi Lalas who said it was like the worst time to have your worst game.
Yes.
But are you guys questioning anything else? Like, you know it. You know it the best, Mike.
Yep.
Was there some tactical, not that game, is there some tactical mistake the U.S. is making? And like, if they had aligned the 11 players differently, we would be playing today?
Now, Uncle Steve, tactically in the first half, you were outmatched. But Pochettino made the proper adjustments, and you were all over them that first 15 minutes of the second half. I argued, Steve, on this program, if our goalkeeper doesn't have the worst howler and brain fart I've ever seen in World Cup history, I think we win that game. We were knocking on the door to score and tie things up 2-2. And keep in mind, Steve, that first half could have been worse. We played that bad in that first half. The fact that it was just 2-1, I think, was a testament on how good our team is. I agree with Alexi Lalas. I think that it was unfortunate to have your worst game of the tournament at that moment. And from somebody who's been watching 25 years of United States soccer and has been bought into the team, that's the best World Cup since 2002. In the first fixture alone, you outscored your goal count in the first half from Cutter. Steve, we scored
We scored
three goals total in Cutter. You scored three in the first half against Paraguay, who beat Germany and took France to a penalty kick and lost to them 1-0 in the round of 16. There's a lot of good with the United States soccer. We haven't produced that unbelievable talent like Erling Haaland, Lionel Messi, and Cristiano Ronaldo. But I'm with you, Uncle Steve. This stuff takes time, and I'm hoping that this World Cup kind of sticks to the younger generation and kids want to keep kicking that soccer ball in this country.
And I don't think they're not going to. I don't. Are people quitting on soccer because we didn't make it one round further? Look at where we are now versus where we were when I was a kid. So it's just not an overnight. It is not an overnight thing. Others have been playing forever. But again, I lean into that. We are a melting pot society. Look at our team.
Yep.
That's good because that will continue to bring more people into the game.
Now, Uncle Steve, I think we need to keep the manager. I know a lot of people are looking at that 4-1 result and are blaming the manager. I'm here to tell you, the three goals, you know, let's not count the fourth one because the game was already in hand, but the three goals that happened were very self-inflicted. I think Pochettino made the necessary adjustments, as I mentioned to you before. He's a big game manager. He's a big time manager. And I'd feel really comfortable with him to lead the project, in my personal opinion. I don't know where you're at on that.
Yeah, that's fine. You know that better. But my one counter to that is, are we building a team to win the World Cup, or are we building a program that cascades all the way down to the, you know, youth level? Because then, to me, that's different than the manager for hire who can get this one team to believe it. That's all I'm saying. Is he the epitome of what U.S. soccer is now is supposed to be and be aiming for? Or is that the responsibility of the people that run United States soccer and all the other federations?
I think he's already changed that, Steve. And I think it came from Sebastian Berhalter, one of the players, who basically said Pochettino gave him the mindset that, yeah, we should go out there and be cocky and dominate because we're the United States. I've been waiting for an answer like that from one of our players probably since Landon Donovan and Clint Dempsey. So I think Pochettino has given the team the swagger and the confidence. The issue is they came out scared in that 15 minutes and it cost
sure
them.
They sure
you
did.
You could sum it up. Listen, Uncle Steve, even though I believe it was the right call by the president to get involved, clearly it affected Belgium in a great way and us in a bad way. And sadly, how football works sometimes, a bad 15-minute segment could cost you. And the fact of the matter is, we made it 1-1. 60 seconds later, it was 2-1. You were still in the game, by the way, at 2-1. The game officially ended when the goalkeeper had the worst mistake I've ever seen. These things happen in soccer. Alexi Lalas, who Colin and I love on this program, I agree with him that it's unfortunate that that moment happened in that game, and it's the unthinkable, but you can't just look at that result when it comes to this federation and this team and the United States soccer. Steve, we have a ton of young players. We have a ton of who are going to be veteran players in the next World Cup. Uncle Steve, we're going to have a mix of three of our best players being 31, and the other three best players are going to all be 27 and under still. I think 2030 is where you go for it. You probably could make the argument it should have been on home soil. I get all that. But the experience we got from that, and now the roster we're going to have, this is the first time I could look at the both of you and say we have 11 guys who are starting at top-tier clubs around the world. I take a tremendous amount of pride in that.
All right. We'll see you in Morocco, Portugal, and Spain.
Mike's thinking about 4 years from now. I'm thinking about now
that we're knocked out, I'm thinking about September and Nations League CONCACAF Gold Cup action, Uncle Steve, because we got to qualify. And guess what that, what does that mean, Uncle Steve? I think a qualification is going to help this team get ready for the World Cup because you're going to have actual games that matter. Keep in mind, the United States automatically qualified for the World Cup. I think a qualification is going to help.
Steve Politino, right, with us now, the Palm Beach Sports Commission Hall of Famer. Steve, we saw Bob Myers of the Philadelphia 76ers on the Rich Paul podcast, or pitching LeBron to the Philadelphia 76ers. Are you next? Are you going to jump on the Rich Paul podcast to pitch LeBron to Miami?
This is fascinating, isn't it?
You have a live agent negotiation essentially on air.
I think it's great. I think this is, LeBron's always enjoyed the spectacle. He's always enjoyed the attention. Go all the way back to the announcement, which, you know, of course, was huge for us back in the day at ESPN West Palm. ESPN 760, I believe, maybe even at the time. Maybe 106.3 by then. But it was, I think it's, this drama is fun. And watching everyone still fawn around the guy who just does, not only doesn't want to be done, clearly isn't done, clearly will, wants to still be a part of it. I just think they need to make sure to ask him the question of, how do you feel about being the third option? How do you feel about being the fourth option? How do you feel about playing 27 minutes a game? Like, you got to throw all the scenarios with him at, if this gives us the best chance to win, what is your comfort level with that? I got to know that where he's going, unless I'm a team that isn't a priority and I want to sell t-shirts. You know, if it's some of the Brooklyn Nets, I'm saying you can play any minute you want. You can coach the team yourself. Now, obviously, they're not in the running, but you know what I mean. If you're trying to win and you're the Nuggets, the Sixers, like, teams that might be that one, he might be the difference. You just have to know, where does he stand? Because you can't have the scope and the specter of him taking away from all the other work that you have done right now to build a contender.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see what type of pitch really does woo him.
I think what we all agree on, nobody knows anything. Everything, yeah.
He's going to play it out,
Uncle
too.
Steve, I feel bad for Shams. Every time I see him come on the screen and they ask him what's the latest, nobody knows.
He's relaying the latest. Yeah, he's reeling Rich Paul probably told.
Apparently, they
listen to the agents. The agents control the narrative.
Yes, hashtag fans with sources. That's all you're hearing right now. Oh, I saw LeBron here. Oh, I saw LeBron. Nobody knows anything right now.
LeBron
right
will tell you when he's ready.
Correct. And it's always been like that.
Would you guys rather it play out? Do you want it announced in the next week? Or would you like to see it go up to or into training camp?
Uncle Steve, sign
3 minutes from now.
Uncle Steve, you know I love LeBron. He's my favorite athlete of all time. Let's speed it up, Ron. Please, for
wasting
God's sake.
Everybody's time.
Please speed it up.
But if you're LeBron, why don't you wait? Why don't you wait till October, November? See who gets hurt.
Oh my God!
Because Steve, these teams also can't make moves. They can't make the moves they want until they realize how much they're either paying or not paying LeBron in the lineup.
The whole league, to Colin's point, the whole league is waiting on this. I feel like there are a lot of deals and things that aren't happening because this big chess piece hasn't fallen yet.
Correct. And if you're LeBron, your number responsibility isn't the whole league.
Rich Paul's got clients himself that probably need to sign.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just, you know, for instance.
And guess what? Yeah. And he would probably be willing to lose every one of those clients for whatever he makes up from LeBron.
Now, Uncle Steve, you're a Miami Heat fan. I could argue, as a Miami Heat fan, you want this to get figured out so you could figure out the rest of the roster if he's not going to come. Right now, I will remind, and listen, Uncle Steve, I think the Heat are going to be great. For the record. But right now, our best piece off the bench is Bobby Portis, Uncle Steve. We got to figure out a bench.
No, I agree. I know the Heat name keeps staying in the mix, and maybe they are kind of working it from behind. And, you know, in fairness, it's not like necessarily going to be the longest window ever, you know, with Giannis. But some team is going to say, and I know it's a risk because of Rich Paul. Something's going to say, I have to go and we have to figure stuff out. We have to move on. We can't wait all summer. Some team is going to say that. And it might be the Heat. I could see it being the Heat because the Heat likely are not winning the NBA championship this year. So already have the Giannis factor. They're looking to like build this thing over the next couple of years. If the Heat put out a statement that said, they wouldn't need to put out a statement. They would just quietly like withdraw their name. Shams might say the Heat are no longer, Heat and LeBron are no longer talking or whatever the reason. That to me would be the next great thing for some team to put it out. Otherwise, I have no reason to act on any expediency if I'm LeBron because LeBron should do what's best for LeBron.
Steve, what's going on with Duffy's?
Well, guys, you know Duffy's Sports Grill is always my go-to for watching the big game. I know it's yours as well. And this summer, they got something really special going on. The World Cup Rib Tour. Now through July 19th with the three brand new barbecue flavors inspired by tastes from around the world. Try the Jack Daniel's Blackberry Barbecue. That sweet, bold barbecue sauce. Blend it with the Jack Daniel's Tennessee Blackberry, the sweet and spicy chili crisp barbecue, and, of course, the spicy mango habanero barbecue. At Duffy's, our game is always on.
Steve, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the games. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk again soon.
You too. Bye, right. Guys. Thank
Steve,
you.
Steve Politino, the Palm Beach Sports Commission Hall of Famer and Good Karma Brands president. We will do a little 5 at 5 on the other side of things. That's Mike. I'm Colin. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.